Today on Pilot's Discretion, we're talking flight simulators with Kevin from Pilot Edge. He tells us about virtual air traffic control, using sims to prepare for EAA Air Venture, and the most common mistake pilots make with flight simulators. Pilot's Discretion starts right now. Welcome, pilots. I'm your host, John Zimmerman of Sporties, and thanks for listening. If you like Pilot's Discretion, please follow us in your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. And remember, you can catch up on every previous episode by visiting sporties.com/podcast. Today, my guest is Kevin from Pilot Edge, a real flight sim pro who has worked at the Virtual Air Traffic Controller Network for over a decade. He manages marketing and special projects there, and he created SimVenture in 2020, a virtual fly-in to Oshkosh that is happening again this year. As you might guess, we'll be talking a lot about flight simulators. Kevin, welcome to Pilot's Discretion.
Hey, thanks, John. Thanks for having me. Really nice to be here.
Let's start with the world of flight simulators at a high level and where you think we are in the timeline. There was kind of a lull, it felt like, in the 2010s. We were sort of maybe in between software. Then there was this huge boom in 2020. Microsoft released a new flight simulator, a lot of people at home because of COVID. Now things seem to have settled down a little bit. What do you think the state of the market is right now in flight simulators?
Yeah, 2020 really changed so much. I mean, Microsoft couldn't have timed it better. Of course, they really had no way of knowing that everyone would be home, but they really elevated the game. You know, if you take a look at the some of the other games that are out there, whether they be auto racing or you know, some of the more action-based games, sports games, you know, those graphics have gone through the roof, and flight simulator graphics were always not always, but they were just outdated. You know, we weren't seeing the same type of graphics that those other games were getting out of the flight simulator market. And certainly Microsoft changed the game in that in 2020. Now, I don't want to go too deep into graphics because there's a lot more to flight simulators than just graphics. And I'm a firm believer in that. And I think that, you know, we need to look far beyond the eye candy as to what makes a good simulator. But as far as where we are in the market today, Microsoft has certainly brought the flight simulator industry up to the current standard as far as graphics go. And along with that, though, they have built a good product. I believe I'm still a big X-Plane fan as well, which is obviously the big competitor in the home sim market. X-Plane 12 recently released with improved graphics. You know, I don't think anyone would argue that Microsoft's graphics are still better than X-Plane 12's. In some ways, you know, X-Plane 12 has some really impressive lighting engines, not to say that Microsoft doesn't. But they are two significantly different sims. And I think they're also a little bit geared towards separate markets as well. But to give Microsoft a lot of credit, they have improved their product greatly since launch. They had a bit of a rough launch. But you know, since then, they've done a lot of patches, a lot of updates. And they've also allowed the third-party market to boom, which is so important in this industry because there are a lot of people making airplanes and scenery and weather and whatever it might be for add-ons, both payware and freeware, that just make everything better.
Yeah, I know of at least two pilots who are now certificated private pilots whose entry really what either pushed them over the edge or what got them in the industry was using Flight Sim, either X-Plane or Microsoft, during COVID. So small sample size there, but I think it's at least interesting that it can be a spark for a lot of people. So I think that's great news. And when we talk about Flight Sims, sometimes people quickly jump to the legalities of this, of, you know, what can I log at home, which I think is often quite overrated. So talk us through that, of what can you log and does it even matter?
I can't stress that enough. I mean, you use the word overrated. I think that you're so right with people wanting to get that out of their sim. They will spend tens of thousands of dollars on these certified sims. And while yes, you know, it does allow them to maintain some currency from their living room, it's also, you know, generally the cost does not outweigh the benefit there. And furthermore, some of these certified sims are not even as good as some that you can get for, I mean, fractions of a price. And you know, when I talk about as good, I'm talking about The graphics, certainly the flexibility of aircraft integration, the flexibility of panels and instrumentation. So the certified sims, I would recommend if anyone's on the market for that, make sure you do your homework, make sure you're confident that it is right for you before you drop a significant amount of money on that. Try and go find one at a flight school and test it out first, and maybe then even try and find a home sim from a pilot buddy that might have one and see how that one compares, because you can have endless amount of unlogged hours in a sim. And it's always important to differentiate proficiency versus currency. And currency is a legal word that we must maintain per the FAA standards, while proficiency is a safety word, and proficiency makes everyone a better pilot. And you can use a $30 joystick, a relatively inexpensive laptop, and a copy of X-Plane 10 or a Microsoft Flight Simulator X from 20 years ago that you could pick up for $10. You could use that setup right there that would run you several hundred dollars to stay proficient. And my last thing that I'll say about that is focus on your goals. Make sure you have a firm goal. You're not jumping in the sim to learn how to fly the airplane from 0 to 100. It's just not going to happen. Primarily because of the feel of the airplane. And that's why the FAA doesn't allow people to get their certifications purely in flight simulators. There's a lot of hours that you have to log for real. And that's a good thing, and that should never change. But as far as what can actually be accomplished in a sim, everything from the instrumentation to just learning the basics of the six pack, the traffic pattern. People come to me often, they say, man, I can't grease those landings in the sim. It's so hard. Well, why? Why does that bother you, right? Especially some of these people are instrument rated or they're, several hundred hour pilots, PPL. And I'm thinking like, well, can you grease your own airplane? Well, yeah, all the time. Okay. Then, no one's judging you in the sim, but if you had a successful sim flight, maybe you shot a good ILS approach, and maybe you accomplish your other goals, then that grease landing isn't going to matter. Give yourself a break there. The controls don't feel real. And the very last thing I'll say, which could be a good segue, is you can practice ATC radio communications, which is a terrific goal for your sim, and one that is 100% usable in the sim to replicate the real airplane. That's one of those few goals that is really one-to-one, or it can be using the correct software and using the proper channels to mimic that ATC radio communications. Not necessarily using the in-game AI text-based or text-to-speech-based software, but more so talking to real people.
Your point there about having a plan is so critical. Just wanted to highlight that because it seems obvious, but I see lots of pilots overlook that. They just fire up the sim, start going somewhere. And that can be fun, obviously, but you would probably not approach a flight lesson in an airplane that way. And it's the same way in a sim. Have a plan and think about what you're going to practice today, even if it's, as you said, as simple as just cockpit familiarization, checklist use. I think that's really important. And use it for what it's good for. You mentioned the classic there of, you're not going to learn how to land an airplane in a sim. But let's talk about the ATC part, because this is obviously where Pilot Edge comes in. But I also think a really underutilized, really unknown for many pilots option that's out there. Most of us think of flight sim as a very solitary thing. I fire up my simulator and I fly around all by myself. But tell me about what communications training, procedure training with some type of ATC service like Pilot Edge. Tell me what that's all about.
Yeah, so to touch on the point about people who get into the sim and they just don't really have a plan, they just fire it up. I think that it's a common human tendency to fire up a sim and get in a 747 and just go full throttle, right? And that's fun. I mean, sure, it's fun. The novelty wears off pretty quick, but it's fun. Or you get in a Cessna and say, man, could this thing actually do a barrel roll? And you try it. But that novelty wears off pretty quick. And so now, let's dive into what can the sim actually do to make me a more proficient and make me a safer pilot? One of the biggest things of flying is talking on the radios. Unless you're just flying complete backcountry and away from any civilization, nearly every flight includes talking on the radios. And whether that's a CTAF or whether that's a tower or approach control center, whatever it might be, that is a skill that that many pilots struggle to learn because there's a specific language and a way that things have to be said. And then there's, of course, the human element, the human factor of you don't want to sound stupid. You don't want to embarrass yourself because all pilots, you know, we're all very prideful, right? And we don't want to sound dumb on the radios, knowing that, you know, many people could be listening. You know, not only the pilots on the radio, but maybe people on liveatc.net, and then this will make it on YouTube, and then we're going to go viral. So there's a lot of pressure behind that. And so that's something that every student pilot and even every rated pilot has to work with. So what Pilot Edge does is they add live real air traffic control into your simulator. When I say live, it's not live feeds of actual frequencies. These are real people working on the other side of the network, of the Pilot Edge network, on radar scopes, acting as air traffic controllers for you. So it's a completely virtual environment, but the whole purpose here is that you are speaking with an actual person who is serving as your air traffic controller, alongside whoever else is flying in your area, just like the real world. So you are able to mimic those kind of back-minded stressors that you have in the actual cockpit in your own home simulator, because you're able to you know, not only just take the runway and throttle up, but now you're having to make sure you have a takeoff clearance and think about your departure. You know, are you VFR? Are you making a left downwind, or are you IFR on a SID or an ODP? These are things that, and the other word I like to use there is accountability. Having that ATC in the sim holds you accountable, right? Whereas you might typically just take the runway. You know, you don't think to check final because you're all alone in the sim. Why would you, right? Well, when you're connected to the Pilot Edge network, it's a big virtual world. So there could be someone on final, whether you're at a towered field or a non-towered field. So it is important to check that final. And furthermore, you'll get their takeoff clearance and follow the ATC instructions after that. And then, you know, again, touching on your point about people just fire up the sim, you know, Pilot Edge is really best for end-to-end flights. You start somewhere, you start at point A, and you go to point B. And you know, sure, you could just do round pattern work or round robin point A to point A, but the point being, you start at the ramp, cold and dark. You know, you fire up the airplane, you get the ATIS, you call ground or you call clearance livery, and you get going just like the real airplane. And so you're following steps starting from step one versus a typical, you know, kind of simulator sequence where you might just start on the runway or even, you know, position yourself to a 10-mile final, which there's certainly benefit to that if you're working on, you know, intercepting the localizer, following the glide path. Yeah, you know, I realize you want to just bang out 10 ILSs as quickly as you can. You're not worried about, you know, taxiing the airplane or whatever, but Pilot Edge really focuses on those end-to-end flights in order to engage your flying brain with those ATC communications more than ever before. And so if you want to practice those, you know, bang out 10 ILSs within an hour, you can, but it's not necessarily for the Pilot Edge network. And I would also make the point that I don't think having that ATC element is all that important if you're just working on the instrumentation flying the glide path. But, you know, if you want to go out and just fly a bunch of practice approaches, get vectors to final, you can absolutely do that with real live air traffic controllers on the Pilot Edge network.
I often think there's levels to simming as you get into this. There, you start out, like you said, you can start with a laptop and a joystick and get your feet wet. That has some value. And then maybe you specialize a little bit more. Maybe you get the yoke and the throttle and the rudder pedals so that it's more like your airplane. Maybe you buy, you know, an add-on airplane that's like the airplane you fly. And that's sort of the second level of it as you get more into it. I really do think that third level is adding in the ATC part, the more network connected part, because that's where that multitasking comes in. And I find it, especially as you alluded to there, for instrument training or instrument proficiency, it's so valuable because so much of instrument flying is procedures, and being able to talk on the radio, understand what the controller wants while you're maintaining aircraft control, that really is the essential skill. So walk me through a typical flight for you. If I was going to do an instrument proficiency flight, it's been 30 days since I've been in clouds and I want to do a little bit of currency flying at home tonight. What's a typical flight look like that? What should I do to do that the right way?
So one great thing about Pilot Edge is you're not required to use real world weather. The controllers will always assume you are unless you tell them that you're not, but you can load up a complete IMC day and, you know, with weather all the way down to minimums and have that ready for you there. So you'd fire up your flight simulator, whether you're on X-Plane, Lockheed Martin's prepared, if Microsoft Flight Sim 2020, or even, you know, Pilot Edge works with all the commercial sims as well, even up to level D simulators. There's implementation for that. But assuming you're in your home sim, you fire up your sim, you start on the ground, ideally on a non-movement area, such as a ramp, or a gate or somewhere that's not off the taxiway in the runway. And then really, I always tell people, don't overthink Pilot Edge. People tend to have the questions of, well, can I do this? Can I do this? It's better to assume you can do everything until someone tells you that you can't, because it is true that it is 99% like the real world. So you get on the ramp, there's an additional little, if you're on X-Plane, there's a Pilot Edge plugin. If you're on Lockheed Martin Prepared or Microsoft Flight Simulator, it's just a separate application that you run on your computer called the Pilot Client, and you just hit connect, and everything runs in the background from there. So you can basically forget about it after that. So once you've done that, you can fire up your airplane, grab the ATIS, and call ground for taxi. You'll need to have a computer headset, or there are ways you can use your aviation headset as well, hooking it up to your computer. You just have to have a way to put it into your computer. And then you'll need to assign a push to talk on your yoke. All that is very easy to do, it doesn't have to be on your yoke. It could be a joystick or even a button on your keyboard. All that is very easy to do. And Pilot Edge's website has resources on how to do that. But once you get it all set up the first time, it's really seamless. You just get on there, use that push to talk, and it's just like the real thing.
Kevin, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, let's get into SimVenture and what that's all about.
Sporties is your one-stop shop for the best flight simulator gear, from Honeycomb and Logitech to Thrustmaster and Redbird. Count on Sporties for the guaranteed lowest prices, fast shipping, and helpful advice from our team of pilots. Not sure what the best option is? Check out our library of articles and videos to help you make an informed decision. Find it all at sporties.com/simulator. Now, back to Pilot's Discretion.
We are back with Kevin from Pilot Edge, who is getting ready to launch SimVenture for the fourth year, an online event that this year runs July 13 through the 16th. So let's start, Kevin, with what SimVenture is.
So SimVenture, if the listeners haven't figured out yet, is a play on words for AirVenture, which is the famous Oshkosh, of course, up in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, put on by EAA every year. And the famous air show, they get over 10,000 airplanes. I think they had over 600,000 attendees last year. And it is really something if you haven't been there, for real. But so SimVenture, it's a way for people to use their flight simulators to fly into Oshkosh using the actual procedures as defined in the notice, previously known as the NOTAM. And so the whole purpose behind SimVenture is, it's twofold. And most importantly, give pilots who are actually planning to fly to Oshkosh, which is about a week and a half after SimVenture. So you fly, you know, SimVenture's in the middle of July, Oshkosh AirVenture, the real one, is at the end of July. And so goal A is to give pilots who are planning to fly to AirVenture for real the ability to practice these unusual flight maneuvers and procedures. And when I say unusual, they truly are unusual, about, you know, a week to 10 days beforehand in their flight simulator. But it's not just that, it's also the fact that you're going to be doing it during SimVenture with hundreds of other pilots in this Pilot Edge multiplayer environment. But here's the kicker: with the actual air traffic controllers who work AirVenture. So we've teamed up with NACA, which is the National Air Traffic Controller Association, and they've graciously given us the contact information for a lot of the controllers that work the actual Oshkosh air show. For those unfamiliar, they are not the controllers that work Oshkosh Regional Airport every week of the year. Instead, they're actually controllers from all around the country who all fly into Oshkosh to work that tower for the week. And so everything with the wing rocks and the dots and all that, obviously they're going to be the best ones to do it. So that's why we have them do it for us. And the great thing is they love it so much. It's just, they're volunteering to do it on for us. And honestly, it's a good little warm up for them as well. So I always enjoy getting the responses from people who see our promotional video that say, man, those controllers sound pretty good. It sounds like they're real. Well, they better sound good because they are the real ones. I would be worried if they didn't sound good. So, on a typical day, the Pilot Edge network, which operates in the, normal day coverage area, they have Pilot Edge controllers who are professionally trained, but they are employed by Pilot Edge. And then, but for SimVenture, for the little Oshkosh area that we have up, which includes Fond du Lac as well, it is all the, it's the Oshkosh air traffic controllers, the actual ones who will be working the show the following week. So it allows pilots to do that anyways as a preparation event. But the other side of it is to allow people who, maybe you're a pilot and you just don't have the time or the resources to fly to AirVenture yourself. Maybe you don't have your own airplane. Or maybe you're just a sim only pilot. You're just an enthusiast. You've always wanted that feeling of, man, what does it feel like to come down the railroad tracks, which is basically one of the first things you do when flying the arrival into Oshkosh. And what does it feel like to rock your wings, which is basically the acknowledgement. That's one of the unusual procedures, is you don't really hit your push to talk at all when you're flying into AirVenture for Oshkosh. You rock your wings to acknowledge. That allows the controllers to stay on that push to talk, their own push to talk, without a break. And they just keep rattling off transmissions. They look for the wing rock for the acknowledgement. So if you are the type who cannot get your own airplane or fly into AirVenture yourself, you are now afforded the opportunity to do that during SimVenture and feel as much as you can what that feels like from your living room. And having done it the past 4 years, having flown in on SimVenture, just during the event for fun to, kind of experience what I've created, I can tell you it feels just like the real thing. It is very, very exciting. Wing rocks, the fast pace ATC, landing on dots, everything. And it really makes you sweat. It does, but it's a lot of fun. You're following traffic a half mile in trail. You're getting turned out to resequence. Really everything that you would get with AirVenture.
I think it's such a great idea because I talk to a lot of pilots who are really intimidated by the idea of flying into AirVenture. And yeah, it takes, you need to be sharp. You need to know how to, fly final precisely and land on the dot. You need to be on your game, but it's not limited to Blue Angel pilots. 10,000 airplanes a year fly in there. So I love the idea of SimVenture kind of lowering that barrier, letting people get their feet wet with it, know what to look for. Because the first time you fly into AirVenture is definitely an experience. You've heard about the railroad tracks, but what is that actually like and where are they? And so I think it's a fantastic idea. And I think it's just excellent that they're real controllers.
And that familiarization is really what we're trying to get, right? Going back to our previous discussion before the break about, how the sim is not going to feel exactly like real airplane. Again, we're not trying to prepare pilots to fly their airplane. We are trying to take the chunk of AirVenture, which is the, the kind of the unknown, especially for rookies flying in there, of the ATC. How's it all going to work? How's it going to look? We have complete custom free scenery that we publish for SimVenture that has all the big landmarks. It makes Oshkosh Airport look show ready with all the tents and the parked airplanes and everything. So you're going to have this perfect mental picture going into your actual flight into AirVenture because you have done SimVenture before. Now, of course, you might get a different runway, but everything will feel much more familiar having practiced it 10 days beforehand.
Yeah, you mentioned the scenery. It is realistic. You can find the Sporty's tent there in front of Hangar B if you look close enough.
So absolutely.
It's the real deal. What do I need to participate in that? Obviously, Pilot Edge, I need a simulator, but if I want to make sure I hit it this year, what do I need to have ready to go?
Yeah, so having the Pilot Edge subscription, or we also allow free trial members. So if you're not a Pilot Edge user, or you're just not sure if it's right for you yet, if you time your free trial sign up correctly, which is 14 days, you get a 14-day free trial or 5 hours of network connectivity time. So if you time it right, you know, don't sign up until 14 days before the last day of the event, which is July 16th, then you'll be within that window, and don't use up your trial because you only get 5 hours of being connected within that free trial period. But if you time it right, you can probably get about, you know, 3 or 4 runs down the tracks in. And, you know, I mentioned multiple runs because we do encourage pilots to fly the arrival multiple times. And by the way, you can also fly the departure. There are specific departure instructions. And so the whole kind of idea is you land, and that's where it gets a little unrealistic, is generally you land, you camp for a few days, then you leave. With SimVenture, though, it's kind of a revolving door. You land, you taxi back. We have very specific taxi instructions with flagmen who actually point you which way to go in the scenery. So you follow the flagman to the departure runway, and then you take off and you head right back out and do the arrival again. The whole purpose being that, you know, your arrival will likely be different depending on your runway assignment, your dot, which, if you're unfamiliar, the dots are big literal circles painted on the runway of different colors. And that's how ATC is able to land 2 or 3 airplanes on the runway at the same time, just downfield. So, so you need a Pilot Edge subscription or within the free trial period. You'll need a headset, which of course is, you know, we talked about that earlier, a computer headset, just something that you can listen to and maybe talk. You know, like I said, usually you don't talk flying into Oshkosh, but every so often, you know, they'll ask you for a runway preference, or they might even ask you where you're from. And our controllers, I should say the Oshkosh controllers, they get real into it. And it's great to see how, you know, at Oshkosh, you know, they might ask you where you're flying in from. The controllers, when they're working SimVenture, will be saying, you know, well, where are you simming from? And it's so cool. I mean, we have people from all over the world. You know, we've heard Germany, we've heard England, and of course, all throughout the United States as well. So a little bit, you know, during the slower periods, they might just kind of be curious and get you talking, just like the real show, though. So it really isn't breaking that immersion at all. It truly is real. Just your simulator. I mean, it is, your sim is what you make it. Yoke, joystick, you know, however you choose to fly. And then you'll need to download the Pilot Edge version of the Notice. So again, previously known as the NOTAM, but last year they changed it to the Notice, is the booklet of procedures that you need as a pilot flying into and out of AirVenture. We make our own. Now it mimics the real procedures almost to a T. But the reason that we make our own is because we have some references in there that are sim specific, meaning, you know, this is how you configure your sim. We make sure everyone also always has clear skies and calm winds. That keeps everyone going the same speed. Obviously, it'd be a problem if one person had a headwind and one person didn't. So it's always a beautiful day at SimVenture, which is always really nice as well. And we just have some other things in there that are more sim specific, and some reference points as far as, this is what the railroad tracks are going to look like. This is what the grain farm is going to look like. This is what Fisk look like, all those kind of things. So don't think, oh, you know, they're just dumbing this down. No, this is 100% based off of the actual Notice. We've just changed it a little bit to make it more sim specific. But if you are preparing for actual AirVenture using, you know, SimVenture, obviously you'll want to download the real Notice before going to the real show, but it'll be very familiar after having used ours for SimVenture.
And that's the most important thing, whether you're doing SimVenture or the real thing, download and read the Notice. I know EAA says this every year, and every year somebody shows up not having read it. So read the Notice. Kevin, at the end of every one of these episodes, we always like to close with a series of rapid fire questions we call Ready to Copy. So I'll throw out some questions on a variety of topics here, and you give me a quick answer. You ready to copy?
Let's do it. I'm ready to copy.
What was your first flight simulator?
Flight Sim 2002, Microsoft Flight Sim 2002.
Yeah, mine was Flight Sim 95. We've come a long way.
Wow,
I pulled up a screenshot of that the other day. It made me feel very old.
Yeah, those pictures surface from time to time of, you know, Microsoft Flight Sim 2020 versus 95. Yep. It's like, oh my goodness.
What's the most common mistake a beginning Flight Sim pilot makes?
Just expecting it to feel like the real airplane, and furthermore, giving up when it doesn't, or giving up at any frustration level. There's going to be a learning curve to any flight simulator, whether it be maneuvering the airplane or just, you know, figuring out the user interface, figuring out how to look left, how to look right. So just don't, you know, be patient with yourself, take a break from it. You know, if you need to just put it away for a few days and give yourself that mental break. Get some help. The community is very large. I'm sure you can find someone who's able to help you with that. And yeah, so just don't dismiss it and have realistic expectations to know, that it's going to have a little learning curve and it will not feel like your real airplane, but that is not why you have it.
Some questions about your preferred sim setup. So let's start with software. What's your preferred flight sim program?
I still usually rely on X-Plane 12. I've recently dove into the VR virtual reality market a little bit, and I will admit, FS 2020 is really fun with those VR goggles on, and it's a little more advanced right now than X-Plane 12's VR. X-Plane 12 has not really released their true version compatible with VR. I shouldn't say compatible, but really set up for good VR yet. So I'm excited for when they do. But for now, some nice VFR flying with Microsoft Flight Sim 2020 with the VR goggles is pretty neat.
And how about hardware? You flying with a stick, a yoke, rudder pedals? What do you use?
I'm always using a yoke. When I started back in, FS 2002, I was using a joystick. And I think maybe a year or two, I got a yoke and never turned back. It does add a level of immersion, certainly. I don't have a force feedback yoke or anything like that, but I do believe that having the yoke is beneficial, assuming you're flying, yoke airplanes. Obviously, if you're flying a Cirrus or something, then a stick will be all you need.
What's your favorite airplane to fly in the simulator?
It really depends on the mood. I'm perfectly fine doing a VFR flight in a Skyhawk, but there's a Zeebo. It's called the Zeebo 737 mod for X-Plane, and that one is my go-to for a larger jet. I don't really go larger than that, but and then, of course, though, the citation for the small citation for FS 2020 is a fun little guy to jump around with, too.
What feature do you most wish flight sim developers would add next?
Ooh, man. That's a good question.
You have no doubt a direct line to the developers at X-Plane and Microsoft right here. So what's on the top of the wish list?
That's true. Top of the wish list for Microsoft, I would just ask them to allow the deferring of updates, at least for about a week or so. I'm a big advocate for the convenience of a sim, and there's nothing like carving out 30 minutes to go do a quick ILS, and all of a sudden Microsoft has a 500 megabyte update that is a required update. X-Plane allows you to defer indefinitely. So, I understand from a software side that they have to get people updated in order for things to be compatible. However, I do wish there was a little bit of leeway, at least, a week or two that you could delay on that. For that fact of it completely ruins your night if you only have a small amount to dedicate to your sim.
Boy, that's not the answer I expected, but that's a great answer. Cause I think anybody who's had that is nodding their head right now that can be frustrating.
It's frustrating. Really frustrating.
What's the most common pain point you see with pilots using Pilot Edge? Not so much the software, but is there a procedure or a part of communications that seems to be a struggle for pilots?
Pilots of all different experience levels use Pilot Edge. There are plenty of, I guess to directly answer your question, I'd say those who don't come prepared, some who just, they don't know much at all about flying, but they thought, adding, ATC would be cool. And getting on there, we have actually restricted people so they cannot connect onto a runway anymore. That was something we dealt with for years, but then founder and CEO Keith Smith was able to write the code so that you can actually not connect on a runway. It will not let you. Taxiways are a different story, but generally people don't do that. But I think just not being prepared, where you're loading up on a 747, requesting an IFR clearance, direct destination out of LAX, because they just don't even know. They're trying to be dumb. They just don't know what they don't know. And for me, I try and stay grounded with it. Where I've dabbled a little bit in like train simulators just for fun, very very little, but it's like, if there was a service, and maybe there even is, I honestly don't know, but if there was a service like Pilot Edge where you could talk to, trained dispatchers, I have no clue where to begin. So I try and stay grounded and put myself in that headspace of like, okay, these people could potentially be, you know, the opposite, where they're big trained people coming over and using flight sims. But all that to say, there's plenty of reference material on the Pilot Edge website. There are free training programs that Pilot Edge has, both online and offline, meaning YouTube videos you can just watch on at your own leisure, and then a full self-paced, self-guided VFR and IFR training program called the Communication Airspace Training Program and the IFR, the I ratings for Pilot Edge, where people can take them. They're flying from square one all the way through to the advanced flying. And generally, if you do load up in that 747, you have no idea what you're doing, the controllers will politely refer you over to that training program. And the whole idea is to get you pointed in the right direction of success.
I always like to put our guests on the spot and make them make some predictions here. So
okay,
here's your chance. Will AI ever be able to replace a human air traffic controller?
No. In a perfect world, with no weather and with no maintenance issues and with no human factors of pilots, yes, it would be possible. But the reality is our world is not perfect. Now, could controllers move into more of an air traffic monitor situation? I could see it potentially happening. But on days where the weather hits, or on days where, you know, there's a maintenance issue, realistically, there's no book, there's no way that anyone can predict every single emergency that could happen, right? We had the Southwest flight several years ago where there was the engine blew up, it created a hole in the cockpit, someone flew out of the airplane. I mean, tragic, but these are things that you cannot predict. There are just too many variables. And so, no, I do not see a world where ATC is full AI and there's no human element.
Our last question is always the same on this podcast. You have one final flight. We want to know, what are you flying and where are you going?
Oh, man. I would, it's one of my favorite flights in the sim. And it's off the coast of Southern California, Catalina, Avalon. They're pretty famous if the listeners are up on kind of the more famous airports. Sedona also comes to mind as well. But I think flying into or out of Avalon, just a relatively small Catalina island, airport in the sky, as they call it. And taking some single engine piston in there would be nice.
Kevin, thanks for being on the podcast. Thanks for listening to Pilot's Discretion, brought to you by Sporties, training and equipping pilots worldwide for over 60 years. For more episodes and today's show links, visit sporties.com/podcast. I'm John Zimmerman. We'll see you next time on Pilot's Discretion.